Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Body and Spirit Radio Show. Tonight it is Wednesday, September the 20th, 2017. Progressing on through this month of September. Namaste, Featherlight. Namaste. And namaste, Scotty. Namaste to all the listeners as well. Namaste, Featherlight. What's going on? Namaste, Featherlight. Are you there? I think your mic is tripping. Is it?
She was
Featherlight.
Muted.
Featherlight. There
okay,
we are.
Mute off. Okay.
We have you. We can hear you now. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.
How's
namaste, Scotty.
Namaste.
Well, I'm going with the flow.
Going with the flow. Hey, so Scotty, you guys didn't have any damage from the hurricane coming up that way. I meant to mention that.
No, ma'am.
I think last week. Yeah, so you were spared.
Yeah, we got some rain. That's about it, though. No, nothing serious.
That's good, because I tell you, it's a lot of devastation going on. Speaking of devastation, I want to first give my condolences to those families across the world, like in Mexico, where that earthquake took place last night. I think it was like a 7.1. And on the scale, over 217 people perished. So we want to send out our condolences. There were some children in the primary class and some people at mass and people at work, people at home. So 217 people, and it's just pure destruction. And Puerto Rico is completely without power. Puerto Rico was just hit. Mexico was actually just hit. I think it's like the southern east. Wrote it down. The southern east part of Oaxaca was hit just about 2 weeks ago. So Mexico is having some turmoil, and Puerto Rico was already having some turmoil with their economy, and now all these islands have been wiped out. Now, you know, just briefly, Baba Dick Gregory, may he rest in power, peace be upon him, used to speak about how the hurricanes would start in the Horn of Africa and come all the way around where those slave ships traveled, and they would go through those islands and right up the coast. So some people believe that those hurricanes and storms are the spirit of the ancestors. What do you think? You can call and let us know. Tonight we will have Kim Lonson with us, and you may have heard her here on Black Talk Radio Network speaking about the case of her son, DeWanye Hickerson. He was the former naval officer studying to be a meteorologist, and he stabbed a transgender person, and now he has been convicted of the killing of this transgender person and is now serving 40 years. So we want to talk to his mother because she has an initiative called Gender Identity Accountable, GIA. and we'll hear more from her about what is GIA. So you want to stay tuned. She's pushing for legislation that will require transgenders to reveal their identity. So a question on the table: should transgender people reveal their birth gender if they are engaging in an intimate relationship? Now, in the workplace, things like that, you serving my food, baking my cake, and all that. I think that that's a separate issue. What do you think, Featherlight, versus being in an intimate relationship?
It's not important to reveal that. I think it's important when you're about to become intimate with someone, if you think you'd like to be intimate with someone, I think it needs to be something that's put out on the table. Give the person the choice. I mean, they may not mind, but at least give them the choice.
Yes. Give them the option to accept or reject. I have to concur with you because I would want to know, and I'll share my experiences. I've had friends that have had encounters with transgender people. And I had a friend that he was a male, and he would dress up as a woman and prostitute himself. And he had so many male clients, it was unbelievable. And he looked a mess. And I just couldn't believe it. And I would tell him, you mean to tell me that men actually pick you up and they pay you? I couldn't believe it. I mean, I honestly couldn't believe it. He knew that I would laugh at him. And I told him he looked a mess. And I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I mean, not to say that transgender people look a mess, because some of these transgender men that have become transgender into women or become women, they look beautiful. I mean, they look, faces always beat. They have the implants, breast augmentation, and butt injections, hips, the hormone pills, the makeup. I mean, they're walking around looking better than some real women, but they're not women. They weren't born a female in reference to their gender, so we want to hear what you have to say about that. Would you want to know? Maybe you don't want to know. Maybe you want to be in the dark. I don't know. But we'd like to hear what you think, and we are certainly going to hear from Kim Melanson, because her son seems like he may not have even received fair representation through the court system, through the judicial system. So, Featherlight, they can call in and share their thoughts and commentary. How can they reach us?
Well, they can reach us. You can send your letters to mindbodyspiritradioshow@gmail.com, or you can call in at 866-510-9025 to speak. So Mind, Body, and Spirit responds to your letters about life, your spiritual journey, health, relationships, dating, career questions, love, sex, etc. in the Ask Mind, Body, Spirit segment. So we have hot news topics and more, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, or you can log on to blacktopradionetwork.com to hear the show.
Yes. And you can follow us on the Twitters at Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. You can follow us in the Mind, Body, and Spirit group on the BTR page. And you can sign up for BTR page. Become a member. Join $21 a month to join the social media experience, BTR. Because guess what?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's $24 a year. For the social media community.
I'm so glad you corrected me. Thank you. $24 a year to sign up for the BTR experience, where you can share your commentary, your news articles, your thoughts, your wisdom, your foolishness. We don't have a lot of foolishness on BTR, but you can join and definitely engage in the conversation on BTR. Just go on to Black Talk Radio Network page, and you should also donate while you're there, and you can also sign up $24 a year. You may say, well, why do I have to pay for it? Well, we pay for everything else. You pay $300 for your weave, and that's just the hair. $50-$60 every 2 weeks for your nails. I know about the nails and all because I do that. So I know I'm spending that. So we definitely can support Black Talk Radio Network. Satellite.
It's for us, by us.
For us, by us. This is for us. Yeah. We should have that salon song as some background music for when we're talking about for us, by us, becoming a member of BTR. I love that. Or maybe I could just sing it. This is for us. Yeah. So, Satellite, I will forego Hot Topics for the moment because I really want to hear you talk about the Social Security piece that you have. I have to hear that before our guest comes on. But before you go into that, let me just say Baba Dick Gregory was laid to rest this weekend in Maryland. And my goodness, his spirit, as we mentioned last week, will continue to live within us. He was laid to rest this weekend. Phenomenal service. Stevie Wonder, Minister Farrakhan was there, Dave Chappelle, so many people. So we love you, Baba Dick Gregory. We love you, we love you, we love you. And the Emmys were grossly remiss in their duties in not paying homage to Baba Dick Gregory during the Emmys ceremony. They know they could have, there was a mention of Jerry Lewis, who passed the day after Dick Gregory. So how could you forget Dick Gregory? Come on, a historical figure like Dick Gregory. Anyway, that's okay, because we'll take care of him at our own awards ceremony.
Take care of our own.
That's
people.
Right. Yeah, to show you what our mind is.
Yes.
Yeah, a bunch of know-nothings deciding on the program. So anyway... Satellite, you want to share something with us about Social Security?
Let me share my quote of the week first. When someone treats you like an option, this is a quote that you can use for individual relationships as well as on a wider scale. When someone treats you like an option, help them narrow their choices by removing yourself from the equation. They treat you like an option, help them out.
Let me make this
easy for you. Let me just kind of step out, and you don't even have to worry about it. And the second quote that goes along with that, if they act like they can live without you, help them do it.
Help them.
Let me make this easy for you.
I'll make this very easy. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I will not give myself a headache. I will not give myself a headache, nor you. That's right.
Okay, so
I like those quotes.
Thank you so much. I love them. I love them, and we should all pay attention to it. You can look at this in any kind of way you want, in an individual, one-on-one relationship. Or, as I said, on the wider scale, if a group of people act like they don't need you, okay, see ya. All right, so this was passed on to me from someone. It's about Social Security, okay? So it's some information that the people coming who are working now, what is this, the millennials, maybe even your generation, Black widows. The Social Security check is now or soon will be referred to as a federal benefit payment. This isn't a benefit. It is our money paid out of our earned income. Not only did we all contribute to Social Security, but our employers did too. It totaled 15% of our income before taxes. Now, if you average about $30,000 per year, over your working life. That's close to $180,000 invested in Social Security. If you calculate the future value of your monthly investment in Social Security, it's like $375 per month, including both you and your employer's contribution, at a meager 1% interest rate compounded monthly. After 40 years of working, you now have more than $1.3 million saved. This is your personal investment. Upon retirement, if you took out only 3% per year, you'd receive $39,318 per year, or $3,277 per month. That's your money. That's almost three times more than today's average Social Security benefit of a measly $1,230 per month. That's all they give you, according to the Social Security Administration. So you can Google it. It's a fact. And your retirement fund would last more than 33 years until you're 98 if you retire at age 65. I can only imagine how much better most average income people could live in retirement if our government had just invested our money in low-risk interest-earning accounts. Instead, the folks in Washington pulled off a bigger Ponzi scheme than Bernie Madoff ever did. They took our money and used it elsewhere. What's his name?
Madoff.
Okay.
I believe it was Madoff.
They forgot, or they knew, that it was our money they were taking. They didn't have a referendum to ask us if we wanted to lend the money to them, and they didn't pay interest on the debt they assumed. And recently they told us that the money won't support us very much longer. So why are they still taking it out? But is it our fault that they misused our investments? And now, to add insult to injury, they're calling it a benefit, as if we never worked to earn every penny of it. Just because they borrowed the money doesn't mean our investments were a charity. So let's take a stand. We have earned our right to Social Security and Medicare. Demand that our legislation bring some sense to our government. Find a way to keep Social Security and Medicare going for the sake of that 92% of our population who need it. Then call it what it is, our earned retirement income.
Our earned retirement income.
Retirement income. Yes. It's our money.
Retirement.
It's taken out every month.
And then they have the audacity to say, well, it won't be here. Well, where is it going?
Right.
Where is it going? If people are constantly paying into it, where is it going? Where is it going? And don't tell me infrastructure, not when these potholes occur when it's raining and flooding and all of this craziness. So where is it going?
Yeah. And we hadn't even talked about taxes or FICA, whoever that person is. I mean, so this is an addition
right.
to the taxes that they say they need for potholes and crap like that. This is something
else.
This
is all a Ponzi scheme. They're talking about Bernie Madoff. Please, all of this crap is a Ponzi scheme. Paying to go to college is a Ponzi scheme. Why wouldn't you invest in my education so that I can come back and be a productive citizen, so I can infuse my city or my state or my country with the knowledge that I gained? That doesn't even make any sense. You want to charge me and have people in debt so they can barely pay back a student loan, and you can't have it forgiven unless you go into certain sectors. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ponzi scheme. Don't even get me started. But thank you for sharing that information about Social Security. When you shared that with me, I was just blown away. I was completely befuddled. These people have the audacity to act like they're doing something for you, and they're actually using your money in the stock market, in their little game, their Ponzi scheme. It's ridiculous. ridiculous. All right. Did you share your quote? Yeah, you shared your quote. Cool. Okay. So, well, I guess I can share my hot topics. Did you have anything else, Heather?
Oh, no. That's it for me for now.
Okay. So, quickly, I'll just share my hot topics before, share a few hot topics before our guest comes on. So, also, I want to give my strength to those people in Puerto Rico. The eye of the storm of Maria, Hurricane Maria, hit Puerto Rico, and it's supposed to, it's recorded as like one of the most powerful storms since 1928. And Dominican Republic also is struggling with some mind-boggling destruction, according to the prime minister. But I think it was Hurricane Irma, I believe, actually hit first and left Puerto Rico powerless. And then with this Hurricane Maria, I think most of the island is completely now powerless. So, my goodness, I know what it was like here after Harvey, when we have power for a few days. Some people may have had it out, had power outages for a few hours, but like those 2 days, thankfully, it was cool. It was remarkably cool because I guess of the rain that came in at that time, so much rain and water, so it was cool, so it was bearable. But had it been hot like it has been this week, the normal heat in Houston, oh my god. But I just do want to speak on this too. Alex Jones, somebody I used to listen to years ago, don't listen to him anymore because he adds a lot of hyperbole to his reporting unnecessarily. And so Alex Jones had this story about people in Houston looting after the hurricane and all of that. I went over in that area about 2 weeks ago that Alex Jones said he extrapolated from Twitter, somebody's Twitter feed. And I tell you, I said, what in the world is he talking about? Those people over there were in 4 or 5 feet of water. Their homes, the whole neighborhood is destroyed. I don't think anybody would have been shooting any guns at anybody trying to rescue them, because the people that I spoke with were only able to grab their cell phone and their purse or wallet or something like that. They had no time to grab anything because the bayous were released, and there's a bayou right in the center of that neighborhood. So many homes were affected. So we're talking about bayou water coming 4 and 5 feet in your home on the street. So people were looting what? Some wet stuff, some poop covered stuff, some bayou covered stuff. Oh, they shooting at rescuers while they in 5 feet of poop water? I don't think so. So anyway, I just think that was ludicrous, and you really have to check these stories that some of these people report. You really do.
Everything that's out there.
You can't. Did you hear Issa Rae's comment at the Emmys when she was asked who is she rooting for? And she said, I'm rooting for everyone that's black. And so people have been having their opinions on her comment in terms of her rooting for everyone that's black. I was upset that Power wasn't nominated for any awards. You know, I love Power with Omari Hendrix and Notori Naughton. Oh my God, I love Power. 50 Cent's show on Starz, which he's moving to BET. So it wasn't nominated. I'm hoping that Power would win maybe some Image Awards or something. Maybe, I don't know. I just think that they're really displaying some phenomenal acting in this series. I enjoy it. I know it's a little gangster and all that. It's my one little gangster movie that I was watching during the season. You know. So anyway, also briefly, you watch Power. Don't you think it should have been nominated for an Emmy, Featherlight?
Well, let me just say this. I do not expect someone that hates me to give me candy. You know, I mean, it's clear. I mean, with, from the Oscars of last year, the year before, whatever, we should not expect the system to recognize what we consider to be crime. I mean, their idea and our idea is totally different. And we should expect our own to acknowledge our own. Because, to be honest with you, blacks were not really ever accepted in the television industry as well as we should have been. I mean, look how long the television industry has been out there. And just look at how many people are dissed. Look how many stars out there who we know are excellent stars, and they don't get the props that they should. So we really should not be surprised. And then it could be political. It could have something to do with 50 Cent moving his show to BET. Maybe that was a move. Make sure he don't get anything. Make sure he don't get anything. You know, it could be some backstreet dealing going on.
Yeah, well, that's one reason why I'm so pleased to see more of our artists actually producing their own content. We have Ava DuVernay, we have, what's his name, the guy that's producing Atlanta, we have Issa Rae producing Insecure, we have Greenleaf, Oprah, and what's his name, production, Ava DuVernay with Queen Sugar, Oprah, and can't think of the young other young man's name with Greenleaf. So we have so many of our artists are actually producing content, good content, excellent cinematography. It's not looking bootleg, so I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. This young girl, I just will speak briefly on this before we welcome in our guest, Kanika Jenkins, the young girl that was found dead in the freezer in Chicago. Very, very sad case in an area, and she apparently was locked in a refrigerator, somehow locked herself or was locked in a refrigerator, and she froze. Now, I don't really know a lot of the details of what happened, of course, and what's going on with that case, but this is what I want to speak on in reference to her case. When we were coming up, our parents told us, these were the instructions, whoever you come to that party with or go to that party with, that's who you leave with. And all of you watch each other, and you don't let anyone put anything in your cocktails, in your beverages. And so we all watched each other. We never left our drinks. We made sure that we had our eyes on each other no matter where we were in that facility, room, or whatever party. So my thing is, let's get back to really, really taking that time and talking to our children about being out and the friends and company that you keep. Because I know that there was a lot of talk on the social media about her friends had to know, Kanika's friends had to know what happened, or why didn't they know what happened? Why was she able to disappear? What happened? What happened? It just doesn't make any sense. So could we please get back to taking some time and talking to our children? I know some of your children may not want to talk to you. They may don't want to listen. You feel like they don't want to listen. But I can remember as a child, we thought that we were wise and knew everything and could pull something over our parents. But many of those conversations did stick with us. And so we knew that our parents gave us this specific instruction, and we will remember that it would kick in at certain times. So just talk to your children, because this is such a sad case that she was separated from her friends somehow, and this is what happened to this young girl. I think she was only like 19. Yes, 19. This happened on September 9th. So condolences to her family as well. We want to welcome in our guest tonight. We have a topic tonight that is very controversial. This was a case that was in the news. I remember when the story came through my feed, and I was like, oh my God. So tonight we want to talk with Kim Melanson, her son, DeWanye Hickerson, who has been convicted and has to serve 40 years, is expected to serve 40 years for killing a person that he thought was someone else. And we're speaking about a transgender person. So we want to welcome you in. Kim, welcome into the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. Hi.
Hi, Black Rose. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to come and share your son's case with us, his story and his life, and your initiative, your GIA initiative. So welcome in, and tell us a little bit about yourself and also about DeWanye, who was in the Navy studying to be a meteorologist, and then he had these events to just turn his life completely around and inside out.
Oh my goodness, in the blank of an eye. Yeah, I'm a mother of four sons. So DeWanye is the second to youngest of my four boys. So I am a very, very traditional mama bear with my boys. And I like to say that because I would think that his father and I kept a tight grip on them as far as behaviors, and we kept them in, you know, the best schools, you know, all of that. And DeWanye, after 2 years of college, aspired to go into the Navy. I can remember the day that he told me. I was so nervous and so apprehensive because he had not been away from home. So I was like, oh God. But his dad, they talked, and finally I didn't want to be the person to hinder his talents, and I just acquiesced, and I said, okay, you have mom's blessing. So I went with him to sign up for the Navy, and he was just really excited, and this was going to be a lifelong goal of his to serve his country. So he was initially stationed in Chicago for training, and at that point he was studying to be a diesel mechanic engineer. So after he received his certification for that, he took an aptitude test, and he qualified, you know, to expand his horizon and try something that he was really, really good at, which was science and math. He's our science guy. I can just know that his brothers and myself included would go to him for our math questions, and he'd just rattle off the answers. So he had a gift for that, and the Navy saw that gift and invited DeWanye to participate in the Naval Meteorology Program, and that meant that he would be stationed in Mississippi at the Air Force Base there. So again, a little bit of uneasiness set in, but of course he's now 20 and he's serving his country, he's making very good decisions. So I was very pleased, and you know, we sent him off. We met him very briefly on his turnaround from Chicago. I can still envision us in the airport hugging, and he says, okay. It was a very brief hug because he was on his way to Mississippi that night. But when he arrived, I didn't really ask a lot of questions about dating and things of that nature because I was concerned about his grades and making sure that he was doing everything he needed to do to pass his completion and get his certification, which, by the way, he did. And it wasn't until this fateful event happened last year that I was actually told that DeWanye, I just got a call from his commanding officer telling me that he had been arrested for capital murder. And I said, I don't think you have the right person. And as he gave me the details, you can just imagine my horror. And then after retaining an attorney that night, we found out a little bit about what was going on, but it wasn't really until the middle of the year that we actually got to know, because Duwanye did not have the privilege. He did not, you know, obviously we weren't going to talk about it over the phone. I never asked what happened. We were just there as family to support him and to let him know that he was not alone, and mom and dad and family and aunt and uncles, we were all working on this attorney getting his defense together. And finally, after we sat down with the attorney, we found out what actually happened. Well, Duwanye had told her that he had been talking to someone online whom he thought was a female. He had signed into an online dating site. He's 20. I get it. You know, that's the way to go these days. You know, you don't really meet people in ideal places. Online seems to be the thing. And yeah. He said that he signed in for a man wanting to meet a woman, and that is where he
looking for another man or a transgender.
He specifically exactly.
was looking for a woman.
Absolutely. Okay. And mm-hmm. so over that, that's where he encountered Dee Wiggum. So over 3 months or so, they had been communicating. He also advised that the individual had canceled on him several times. So there were several attempts to meet up, and they all failed. And so he's, you know, wasn't worried about it. He's going about his life. And then an event that was held in Mississippi where he was stationed had their paths crossed. So this individual looked Duwanye up, well, called him and said, "Hey, I'm in town. Let's meet up." And he picked them up from the base, and they proceeded to go to a hotel where they were, you know, just thinking about, you know, going to the hotel. So some people may say, well, did he not know? No, did not. And I'll kind of go into that later about why he didn't know. They were going into the hotel to have sex. I mean, they were not going in there to talk or play cards. I mean, it was just understood over the course of those 3 months that this is the business, this is what we're going in there to do. So the sex act that occurred was also based on deceit. There was a storyline as to why this particular sex act was needed. So after the sex act, the individual informed Duwanye, "By the way, I'm a man." So Duwanye testified in court that at that point he lost it. He completely lost it. And he also testified that he didn't remember much after that. Later on, they recovered some items that were taken from the room in an effort to cover his tracks. He's scared. He's nervous. He's feeling cheated, defrauded, emasculated as a heterosexual male who is now coming to grips with the fact that he has committed a homosexual act that he was not consenting to. So he did assent to having meeting up with the transgender, but he did not consent to this act because consent is informed. And so he wasn't informed. You know, we're looking at the age where cosmetics and everything that's done, hormone therapy, there's an instance where our attorneys told us that the individual had an atrophied penis by means of hormone therapy. So it's no longer safe to say that you can pat and feel, because that's not a sure way either to determine someone's gender. The only sure way
in. Let me just jump in right here, Kim. So, because, you know, some people would say, and even I have often said that, well, you should be able to tell because you can look at the Adam's apple, you can look at the face, and you can feel and see if they have a penis versus a vagina. But you mentioned the penile atrophy. And so that's, I'm imagining, a surgery, whereas the penis is reduced in some way?
Well, actually, it's through hormone therapy. So the surgery is the actual sexual reassignment surgery, but the atrophy state is the hormone therapy whereby the person is taking, you know, a very large amount of hormones that is directed to turn all of the testosterone now into estrogen, and it in turn shrinks identifiable male gender parts. Yes.
Mm.
And
now,
then
Kim,
there's
let
breast
me
implants.
Ask a question. Kim, this is Featherlight.
Hi,
What about the testicles? Are they? I mean, how do they disappear? I mean, are they?
They shrink.
Shrunk as well. Oh, okay.
They shrink. They are shrunken.
And what do you call the surgery when the Adam's apple is shaved?
A laryngeal shaving.
Laryngeal shaving, yes, because there's a doctor here in Houston that specializes in laryngeal shaving. So, and then you have
the
hormone.
And to be honest with you, I know transgenders that have not had laryngeal shaving, but there is a way in which a person can hold their throat muscles. If you're used to doing something for so long, it's second nature to you. And I'm going to use this as an example. Let's say, for instance, we've got this dress and we just want to suck our stomach in because we might have a little mm-hmm. pouch. And mm-hmm. we're just used to doing that, you know. So
yeah.
that is the same content and context that would apply here for someone who can control their neck muscles. This is a very, very learned identity change, and along the way there's coaching from other trans, you know, here's what works for me, and it's almost like a secret society of information that's shared and passed along on how to do this and how to do mm-hmm. that, you know. So there is definitely not a surefire way, and I can tell you that the pictures that are related to my son's case of the transgender are more masculine than what my son saw, okay? I'm going to say that, you know, because that's what the media wanted. They wanted to validate the fact of thinking, oh, didn't he know? But no, that's not the pictures that my son saw, and that is not the person that my son saw. And, you know, in open court, when Duwanyi testified at his sentencing that he lost it, Dee Wiggum's mother said, I believe you, and I believe what you're saying happened. I just wish that it would have turned out differently. So to me, as a mother, saying those types of words show me that there may have been a history of deception there. You know, someone doesn't just shoot for the first time, and then you don't, after the fact or after sleeping with someone in a sexual manner, disclose to them after in a taunting manner that, by the way, I'm a man.
Oh my God. You know, and as you mentioned, he said that he lost it, and I truly can understand that, because you just don't know what a person's response would be. Everyone, just like people respond differently to, say, grieving. I mean, in response to being deceived, and you, especially in this type of manner, this is not just, oh, my girlfriend cheated on me, had an extramarital affair, and, I feel deceived and hurt. This is a man who went into an encounter expecting to be with a woman, and he finds out after sex that this is a man. And so when I first heard this the whole story about your son, I said, well, he should have been able to get off on an insanity plea. Why wasn't he able to get off on the insanity plea? Explain the law in Mississippi in relation to the insanity plea and why that was not available to him.
So that was one of the things that we wanted to use, because it was a clear case of a crime of passion, temporary insanity, diminished capacity, or whatever, you know, the legal terminology for that is. However, we were told by counsel that there is no such thing as a temporary insanity plea in the state of Mississippi. A person would have to be functioning with no faculties whatsoever. So this would be a person who is just completely gone, Charles Manson, if you will, you know, and someone who didn't have the faculty to read or write. And these were the terms that the insanity plea meant in Mississippi. And of course, Duwanye did not qualify for that. You know, he's a very smart young man who would never have had this happen under any normal circumstance, but this isn't a normal circumstance. So the temporary insanity plea was null in Mississippi. We were told that by counsel at the beginning of this, that, oh, can't go for that. No, that's not going to work. You know, this is not temporary insanity. There's no such thing. It's impossible to prove. Impossible to prove were the words.
Let me ask you this, Kim. There have been many, many cases, not particularly in Mississippi because I don't know where these cases are, but I'm sure you, too, have heard of many cases where a man comes home unexpectedly from work or wherever, and he sees his wife in bed with maybe his best friend or whatever, and then he just loses it, and then he goes, pow, 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 and then it comes to court. He's like, I just lost my man, and then he gets off. He gets off because he was
a crime of
temporarily
passion.
Lost it. Yes, crime of passion. I would be interested. I mean, sometimes these lawyers, like doctors, don't know everything. And it is up to us to do a little research of our own, because I would be interested to know if there are any cases whatsoever in the state of Mississippi where there was a crime of passion and somebody did get off, and then you could use that as a whatever the word they call it.
Let me just explain to you, Featherlight and Black Rose, why this was going in as a capital murder case. On his way exiting the room, Duwanye removed one of the victim's personal items from the room, a bag, and he threw it in a dumpster. So he didn't touch, he removed it, threw it away, and in an effort to cover his tracks at this point, he's still not thinking rationally. Duwanye has never been inside of a jail cell a day in his life. He's never been in trouble. So he doesn't know what he should or should not do at the scene of a crime. So they considered the removal of the bag a robbery. So with that being said, Mississippi stacked charges. Absolutely, yes.
Oh.
They stacked charges and said, not only did you murder someone, but you robbed them too.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And our attorney counsel did not fight to say, at best, this is obstruction. At best, destruction of property. None of that. She agreed that it was a robbery. Even knowing that this was not Duwanye's intent. And of course, capital murder is murder with intent. So you intended to go somewhere and do something. So none of that mattered. None of that mattered. I mean, it was just as if every single thing that we presented to our counsel, and I had three attorneys, was just shoved under a rock, like as if, well, we would say, well, what about this? What about the transpanic defense? There is a defense called transpanic, whereby a person does lose it when they are tricked and deceived, raped by fraud, and commit a self-defense act. That was shot down as well. Oh, but we still have the bag. It was just a nightmare of collusion. Yes, a nightmare.
And then the first deceit was with him getting on the social, whatever, the Dateline thing, and saying, listing himself as a woman.
That's a woman.
The first deceit there.
Yes.
That's sort of pre-planned or premeditated or whatever.
Absolutely. So the scary part is that we have laws that make it a criminal act not to disclose your HIV status and knowingly infect a sexual partner. But there are no accountability laws for transgenders who use this deceptive form and predatory act and really wanton behavior to entrap someone and to force their lifestyle on an unsuspecting victim. Now, I flip the script and say, what if my son had went back to the barracks and committed suicide because of this? Who would we have had to hold accountable? No one. Because there is no law that says rape by fraud is a crime. So our penal code really has to catch up with the disclosure laws and rape by fraud, because this is what it is. If you don't consent to a sexual act, it's rape.
And that's what I was about to ask you to explain, rape by fraud, because some people may say, well, what do you mean rape by fraud or rape by coercion? So if you could just speak a little bit more on that, just to make it clear for everyone before we go to break, and then when we come back, I'd like for you to speak on your initiative. But let's unpack rape by fraud so that people can have a clear understanding.
Sure. So at any point that you are coerced or tricked, and a newer term, catfished, that people can relate to, into a sexual act unknowingly is rape, because you did not give your consent to said sexual act, and which in this case is a homosexual act that you did not say you wanted to engage in. So if a person is not disclosing their gender, their born gender, not how they feel, not how they relate, not how they dress up, but their actual biological gender, and making an effort to deceive people into unwanted sexual activity, that is rape by fraud.
Thank you for sharing it and explaining that.
And rape is not always a physical struggle.
Mm-hmm. That's very important to understand, because I have a story that I will share also when we come back from break. I have a friend that was basically in a similar situation as Duane Ye. So we will take a break. We have some more questions for you and want to hear more about your initiative. You can call in and also ask your questions here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. We're speaking with Kim Alonson, and she's speaking about her son, former Navy officer, studying to be a meteorologist. Call in 866-510-9025. While we're on break, you can Google the case and you can find out more. And how can people follow you, and what's your website, so they can also check out your website while we're speaking to you?
Sure. They can follow me on Twitter at Gia Awareness, and that's the name. And also the website for Gia will be going live Saturday. So it will be www.GIA Awareness.org. And it's a very interactive website. It allows for some questions, some polling, because that's what we're wanting to invite, is dialogue. We want it to be open, because we want all opinions, you know, not just the heterosexual community, but we really, really want to open up and have this conversation with members of the LGBT community as well, so that we can get an understanding of why a transgender would sign up to meet a heterosexual male. Why?
Yes.
You know, so that's my main question. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And reveal it immediately.
Certainly after sex is not the time to reveal.
No, it's not. No. Prior to. In fact, if I meet you online and we start to communicate regularly, I would say on that second conversation, or at least the first conversation, if you think that this person is having some type of interest in you, let that person know. Let that person know right at the beginning. I would say.
Give them a choice.
Especially if they're on a site that's looking for someone of the, and they're searching for someone of the opposite sex, not a transgender or another female or male. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. You can press ** if you would like to share your comments or ask a question of Kim. We'll be right back. Back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Scotty, I couldn't hear the music. Could anyone else hear the music?
No, I couldn't either.
I couldn't hear the music either. I couldn't hear it. So I was so anxious to come back to Kim, so we'll just come right on back to Kim. If you have any questions about her son's case, and we're getting ready to speak about her initiative, you can just press **. You can call in 866-510-9025. Follow us on Twitter, and also you can follow us on the BTR Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show group page. So welcome back, Kim. You're speaking about
your son.
Yes. And, you know, really, thank you so much. Really, I just feel like the prosecutor, not the prosecutor, but the defense attorney was very remiss in their duties and didn't actually go through the whole process of due diligence in defending your son.
Not
because,
at all.
Yeah, it just seems like so many ways, especially here in the South, that his case would have been viewed as pure deception. He was lured. Yes, he lost it. And this could have very well happened, as tragic as it is. Of course, we don't want a person to lose their life, but however... and I don't mean to say it's just, you can't deceive a person like this and not expect some type of possible negative or even violent reaction.
Yes.
Tell us about your initiative.
My initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Gia, the purpose of Gia is stemming from Duane's incident, but it is not just about him. This could be a friend of mine's child, or just the story that I read, and I still would have been. It is an effort to save lives, because more than anything, there's an increasing alarming rate of transgender deaths in our country. And I'm not saying that some of those are not hate-fueled. I can't speak on behalf of everyone, but I just know that my son's incident was not of hate. So Gia's purpose is to save lives through lobbying for our country's penal code to institute laws for gender disclosure. A lot of the issues that people have is understanding what consent means. So if we can get laws for identity theft, identity fraud, then certainly a person's body, I mean, people flip out when their identity gets stolen. I mean, I've had it happen, and it sucks. So you're looking at someone that's using your stuff up. So imagine your person, your body, your temple being violated when you did not consent to something. You are emasculated. You are deprived. You feel it's just morally wrong, you know? And so non-disclosure has led to wanton behavior and predatory acts of rape by fraud. So we need our laws to catch up. That's what we need. We need accountability. And we know that when we are held accountable for something, that changes actions, changes the way we do things. So if a person knows that if I enter this site as a woman, just, you know, because I identify as a woman, does not make you a woman. If I enter a site and I sign up and I meet someone and I'm accountable and I can be held responsible for that, then that may change the way people do things. And that's the goal of GIA, is to have conversation. And I invite that to anyone that's listening, because when you want to have the conversation, a lot of times with the LGBT community, it is met with defense. It's met with hate, or you hate us, or you're called a homophobe or a transphobe, mm-hmm. and the phobe term is labeled to you when you have questions. I mean, we have to know, like, how are we going to help? We need to ask these questions.
And this is not about discriminating against anybody or hating anyone. As I mentioned previously, I wouldn't care if you were a transgender person and I work with you, or you're serving my food, you're my doctor, nurse. That's not my business. I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned if we are engaging in an intimate relationship. I think we have someone that may want to share a comment or ask a question. Area code 702, do you have a question or a comment?
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I do have a couple of questions. My name is Fred from Ohio. The first question I had for Ms. Kim, because I definitely I can see the importance of this, and you kind of touched on it just a few moments ago, how it would seem like if the LGBTQI, what have you, if that community, if they feel that they are in any way, shape, or form, especially the white part of them, if they feel like they're being attacked in any way, shape, or form, if it's not being celebrated, then they do get very defensive. So really, how have you been able to kind of address those concerns? And like you said, because I understand, and I've also had conversations. I'm a black female, and I've had conversations with black males just kind of showing concerns, like heterosexual black males, like, well, how would they feel? Like, you know, that does kind of seem scary, that if you are attracted to a natural born female, if you then are, you know, misled into thinking that a person is a transgender woman, you don't know, then how would they feel? So that would be the first question. The second question is, I agree that there definitely should be some type of, you know, notice, especially before you start even, you know, maybe even kissing or, you know, touching or whatever, but can have some type of intimate act. But then I feel like maybe their retort would be, you know, as soon as you might come out and say that, you know, you are a transgender person, you might immediately be attacked. So I'm just wondering, how would this legislation that you're trying to lobby for, how would that then kind of address those concerns? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question. For the first part of your question, as far as a heterosexual and how am I relating to the LGBTQ community, is by dialogue and inviting conversation. I have a very diverse family background, and Duanye is from a diverse family background. So I have transgender family members, and I started there with questions. And I didn't just want theirs because they're family, and so they may be a little bit, you know, not all telling with me as to why certain things are done. So what I've done is GIA is launching an initiative to reach out to community centers to invite them to discuss this question and a lot of different questions that we have, so that maybe there may be a talk track. So people may feel embarrassed or they feel shy about telling someone that they are trans. Okay, so maybe there needs to be help with them having that conversation. But really, to answer the second part of that as well, is if they will be met with violence or attack when they come out. So it's a matter of when are you doing this? When are you coming out with it? Are you coming out in person? Or are you coming out while you're online in a safe zone talking, as you should, or on the phone, as you should, prior to even getting romantic or any of that? One, signing into a website under false pretenses is not a good idea, because even though you may identify as a woman, biologically you're not. And there are plenty of websites, dating sites, that ask that question, how do you identify? So there is websites for transgender to meet people in their community. Now, why they seek out people in the heterosexual world and community, I can't answer that, because that's one of the questions that I have, is why. You know, so yes, it could be met with violence if you decide to go on a date with a person and then say, hey, by the way, I'm beautiful, I'm these things, but I was born a man. That wouldn't be a good idea. So you may want to have that conversation prior to even getting to the point where you're having a face-to-face encounter. And at that point, you can simply allow that person to have a choice and hang up the phone and say, hey, I don't roll like that. That's not my thing. And goodbye. And that's the end of it. No harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. But certainly totally not when you're over dinner.
No, not over dinner, not while you're in the bedroom. We have another question here in the chat room.
Black Rose. See.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about the music situation. So my audio is back working. My audio's back working, but I'm the one that posted that, and just want to say hello to Kim.
Hi, Scotty.
Hi, Kim. Also, to the caller, it's not hard for a person, because I've been in this situation where you trying to cop a feel or whatever in those intimate situations and what have you, and plenty of women have told me no, and I did not touch them. So it's not hard, you know, to stop petting by just saying no. I would recommend that if someone's going to disclose, do it over the phone. Do it over the email. If you're, you know, you don't have to be in that person's physical presence, and you don't have to tell them in a way like, I was born a man. I don't hear people that I interact with or observe interacting on social media who are transgenders who come out and say, by the way, I was born a man. Many of them tell you they was born in the wrong body, and they are really identifying as women. So that is kind of like taunting in that situation, I feel, as a heterosexual male. But, you know, there are plenty of ways to disclose in public places. I mean, earlier Black Rose was describing the case out of Chicago where the young black woman was murdered after attending a hotel party about your friends and looking out for each other. So it's plenty of ways to disclose to where if there is a threat of violence, it could be neutralized in different types of settings. But Kim, would you please tell everyone about your experience with the attorney that you spent your hard-earned money on, you and your family, to represent DeJuan Ye, and how the DA has admitted to the press, to the public, that they didn't even have enough evidence for no capital murder case. They had only enough to convict on manslaughter, and how from the beginning it seems the defense attorney was not setting out to defend DeJuan Ye's innocence, but to do a plea deal with the prosecutor. Thank you, Black Rose.
Yes. From the very beginning, every time that we had discussions and before the plea was offered of 40 years, we had a family discussion. DeJuan Ye's, all of us family members were on a 7-person call, and we completely exhausted our mind processes and asked every question imaginable. Did she do this? Did you do this? We don't want to take this plea. We'd rather go to trial. You shouldn't go to trial, because if you go to trial, we're in Mississippi. We don't know who his jurors would be. That wouldn't be a good idea. And then the DA won't go for second degree. He will press for capital murder. And two, we were just, oh my goodness. And DeJuan Ye was given 5 days to say yes to this plea. And initially I said, no, we're still going to go to trial. His dad and aunts and uncles, we all said the same thing. And then DeJuan Ye stepped in and he says, I don't want to die in prison. He says, Mom, that they will leave me in there. No, they don't care what happened. And, it's just not what I'm going to do. And he took the 40 years under duress, 5 days to answer the plea. And the DA told our attorney that if he did not take the plea, he would go to trial for capital murder, which would have been life without the possibility of parole. And he would instruct the jurors on the law of Mississippi, where if two crimes, and keep in mind the bag deal was the robbery, two crimes committed in one would constitute capital murder. Yes. And that is DeJuan Ye taking the plea. And then later to find the DA tells the newspaper, the press, that he didn't have enough for capital murder, manslaughter, or possibly an acquittal. Yes.
And this is what really enrages me, because we have these defense attorneys that really don't seem to defend citizens as they should properly, period.
No.
Because when I heard this case, I was like, oh my God, that seems like such an easy case for a defense attorney to win. I mean, if George Zimmerman can get off for killing Trayvon Martin, surely DeJuan Ye would have been able to have been acquitted for this. All charges dropped.
I have another question. It's heartbreaking when we read that, and I immediately showed it to the lawyer. I said, what is this? Because at this point, we're enraged. What is this? She says, oh, that's the DA's way of covering his butt. He didn't mean any of it. He had to say that because people were getting on him for giving DeJuan Ye a plea deal. So she's still thinking that she did DeJuan Ye a favor, 40 years, and he's 21 years old. That is life.
Someone had another question.
The last thing I wanted to ask is, I was just looking up different laws, because I know that there are some states, at least one, I found one in California where it said something about an online criminalization law. It's SB 1411. And I was wondering if maybe Ms. Kim has maybe looked into something similar to that, where if someone impersonates
someone else, then they can be fined up to $1,000 or spend a year in jail. And it looked like it was passed back in 2011. So maybe if that would be something to consider.
Thank you for that. Yes, we looked at several precedents of cases. But again, it was my attorney, three-team attorney's job to do the due diligence for which we hired them for. And unbelievable, because we all still, family members included, still looked up cases and referenced, and every single thing that we brought to her was shot down. Because, and she says, well, that's a great idea, but we still have the robbery.
My goodness. It just really sounds like, yes, she was in collusion with the DA.
Absolutely.
Just to make a
deal.
Just to make a deal. Mm-hmm. Well, listen,
absolutely,
we want to have you to come back, because I know that there's more that you can share, and we definitely need to follow the case and not forget about this, because it seems like, not just with your initiative, the GIA initiative, but also just following the case and seeing what can be done. Can he be released? Can he be acquitted? Can these charges be dropped? So how can people follow you again? And you said the website will go live on Monday?
On Saturday. And the website is www.GIAAwareness. So it's GIAAwareness.org, and I'm on Twitter and Facebook. So the Facebook group is G.I.A, and Twitter is GIAAwareness. Just GIAAwareness at Twitter, or however you say it. I'm just starting to get into social media with this initiative.
All right. So at GIA Awareness is how we can follow you on Twitter.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. Instagram? Any Instagram or Snapchat or anything like that?
No, I don't have Instagram or Snapchat.
Not yet. Well, I don't have Snapchat. I don't need a Snapchat. I don't want to Snapchat with you. But we do want to have you back, and we'll have to have you back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show so that you can share more about your initiative. And again, let us know how we can assist in any way, what actions people may need to take. So thank you so much for taking
the time. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
friends.
It.
Yes. Okay. And you take care.
And
let your son know that he has some supporters here.
I will. He does know, and he thanks you all.
Good. All right, then. You take care. Nice speaking with you. I'm so glad she shared her story. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad she shared that. I didn't get a chance to share my story involving a transgender, one of my friends, rather, involving a transgender, but I'll share that maybe next time when she comes on. Because now, Featherlight, you have a spoken word for us before we go to break.
Okay. All right. This is called Ponytails and Apple Pops. So you take a little girl's hair, part it down the center, gather it together on either side with a band or bow, and what do you get? Ponytails and apple puffs. Ponytails and apple puffs. One is band and one is braid. One is booted and one stays. What's all the fuss? An institution that teaches and shapes our youth. We now have laws against the Afro puff? When did this happen? While we were asleep? What is this madness, you say? Has it really gotten this deep? Is this another blatant attempt to strip a people of their pride and culture, of their self-esteem and self-worth? Are we back on the plantation when African women were forced to cover their beautiful curly locks with wags because it was the distraction to the missus? Imagine the shock when Europeans first gazed upon the blue-black curly locks of the daughters of the Dutch with their deeply melanated skin.
Over 150 years later, these same naturally curly locks are a distraction to themes now. For the students, teachers, society? What happened to the popular cultural diversity? So false straight European hair with a tag price of $200 to $300 is okay. But natural hair growing from one's head with zero cost is distraction? Oh, I get it. Teach them to dislike what is theirs naturally and embrace imitation of someone else. Get them early. Teach them to imitate, impersonate, and assimilate. Teach self-hate. When you hate who you are, you're easier to control. Black folk on Facebook complaining about Beyoncé's reluctance to straighten her daughter's naturally curly locks simply because they have been assimilated and want our babies to take the same blue pill of false security and blissful ignorance so many of us are trapped in. Are we back in the 70s when full halo afros were banned in the workplace? Go home, straighten your hair, perm with that lock, come back tomorrow, the job is yours, and be on time, gal. Translation: your hair is offensive to me. It's neat, but you act like you're proud of who you are, and that is not tolerated. 50 years later, after a black president, our natural hair is still offensive? Is this really about the puff, or is there an underlying message here? Cultural assassination rears its ugly head. Oh, no. You will not take our youth down that treacherous, I hate how I look road again. What does that make me? My people, are we to once again allow our natural beauty to become a contemptuous sight to be looked down upon by those who seek to destroy a culture and create a mass of assimilated robots? Say no. Say no to self-hate. Our little girls' afro puffs are not a distraction. Our locks are our crowns. They represent our acceptance and love for self. And that, my people, is the fear. Self-love. It is our most powerful weapon. Once we cross that road, we will know true liberation. No one can ride your back. If you're standing up, they will slide off. Rise up. Say no to the Afro Puff fan. Say yes to self-love. And yes, liberation. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Featherlight. Thank you. Say yes to self-love. Oh, my God. Thank you for sharing that, Feather. I remember when the other tennis players were saying that Venus and Serena's beads that they used to wear when they were teenagers were very distracting. And they couldn't see the ball as it aimed towards them with such velocity and ferociousness. Let's take this quick caller before we go to break. Caller from 914 area code, do you have a question or a comment? Nope. Okay. No problem. Well, thank you so much for listening. And the pigtails and ponytails piece. With pigtails and afro puffs. Ponytails and afro puffs. I remember wearing our afro puffs, and the afro puffs, that's just the way that our hair is fashioned into what's akin to or similar to the pigtails. It's just our afro puffs. And now students in some schools, they have this hair dress code where they can't even wear their ponytails, and I think that's just cultural assassination. Our culture is assassinated in so many ways. Take a break, and we'll come right back with our African spirit piece. We are honoring David Walker, abolitionist David Walker. We'll be right back.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
We're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we are honoring for our African Spirit segment tonight abolitionist David Walker. David Walker was born September 28, 1796, in Wilmington, North Carolina. He died August 6, 1830, at the age of 33, suspiciously died, may I add, in Boston, Massachusetts. He was an abolitionist and a journalist. He was an outspoken African-American abolitionist, writer, and anti-slavery activist. Though his father was a slave, his mother was free, so therefore he was free. And since American law embraced the principle of partus sequitur ventrum, literally, that which is brought forth follows the womb, Walker inherited his mother's status as a free person. Despite his freedom, though, Walker found the oppression of fellow blacks unbearable. He said, "If I remain in this bloody land," he later recalled thinking, "I will not live long, cannot remain where I must hear slaves' chains continually, and where I must encounter the insults of the hypocritical enslavers." Consequently, as an adult, he moved to Charleston, South Carolina, which was at that time a mecca for upwardly mobile freed blacks. Slavery was abolished in Massachusetts after the American Revolutionary War, so Walker settled in Boston in 1825. He spoke publicly against slavery and racism
And by the end of 1828, he had become Boston's leading spokesman against slavery. Additionally, he served as a sales agent and a writer for the New York City's short-lived but influential Freedmen's Journal in 1827. And in 1829, while living in Boston, Massachusetts, he published an appeal to colored citizens of the world, a call for black unity and self-help in the fight against oppression and injustice. The appeal brought attention to the abuses and inequities of slavery and the role of individuals to act responsibly for racial equality, according to religious and political tenets. At the time, some people were outraged and fearful of the reaction that the pamphlet would have. Many abolitionists thought the views were extreme. He became affiliated with a strong African Methodist Episcopal Church community of activists, members of the first black denomination in the United States. Now, the title page of the 1830 edition of Walker's Appeal to the Colored Citizens of the World, in September 1829, when he published the appeal, there were four articles together with the preamble to the Colored Citizens of the World. The purpose of the document was to encourage readers to take an active role in fighting their oppression, regardless of the risk, and to the white press, white Americans to realize the moral and religious failure of slavery. So let me just mention some of the core issues. This is a very, very small pamphlet. It's required reading in black studies. You should definitely read this pamphlet if you have not read David Walker's appeal. Core issues: racism, equal rights. Let me just speak on the equal rights. In terms of the effects of slavery, that was the third principle. David Walker stated the appeal described the pernicious effects of both slavery and the subservience of and discrimination against free blacks. Walker challenged the racism of the early 19th century. He specifically targeted groups like the American Colonization Society, which sought to deport all free and freed blacks from the United States to a colony in Africa. This was how Liberia was established. He wrote against published assertions of black inferiority by the late President Thomas Jefferson, who died 3 years before Walker's pamphlet was published. He rejected the white assumption in the United States that dark skin was a sign of inferiority and lesser humanity. That's David Walker, author of David Walker Appeals. He was found in his home in the doorway, and people suspected that he was poisoned. And from this prolific pamphlet, I wouldn't doubt that. So we honor David Walker for sharing that, for being an author and a journalist and speaking up about the effects of slavery and racism. David Walker, for our African spirit honoree. All right, and we're back. You read that? Yeah.
Yes.
It's just a little small pamphlet. I think it's only, it's like less than 60 pages or something. It's small. I read it years ago. If you have a question or comment, just press ** and you can unmute your mic and share your thoughts with us here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. You can also catch this episode on the Black Talk Radio page, where you can also go on that page and donate and sign up for the BTR experience. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and follow our group on the BTR group page on the BTR page. So Featherlight. We have some love, the body, for us. And what else do you have? You always have something good for us.
to close out?
Of the body and R&R. By the way, what I'm about to share, I'm going to just share a recipe to remove toxins and nourish the cells, and also some great benefits of a very common herb called sage. And this information
sage.
I have placed on the BTR social media network under our group, Mind, Body, and Spirit. If we have any BTR social media members, you can go on that on our group page, Mind, Body, and Spirit, and you will find the recipe and also some of the benefits I'm going to share about faith. And I will put on it on the regular Facebook later, but it's already on the BTR. So sign up. BTR for us, by us. So here's a recipe. By the way, let me give you another quote. Let me give you a quote on health. So healthy doesn't mean a salad, okay? Healthy isn't a measure of your weight. Being healthy involves your mind, spirit, and your heart just as much as it involves your body. Each person's version of healthy is different. For instance, sweets don't make you unhealthy, but sadness will. Sadness will make you healthy.
Did you say sadness?
Sadness, being sad, always sad, that's unhealthy. It has nothing to do with food. Okay, here is a recipe for a mean green smoothie. This smoothie is full of nutrients and is packed with six foods. Kale, ginger, and lime juice actually help flush toxins from the body.
Okay.
Yeah, I hit the cough. Now, nourishing your cells in the process. The prep time is 5 minutes. It serves two. One ripe banana frozen overnight. 3/4 cup spinach, loosely packed. 3/4 cup curly kale, peels removed. 1/2 cup carrot, chopped. 1 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger. 1 tablespoon of fresh parsley. And 1 teaspoon of fresh lime juice.
1 teaspoon of what?
Fresh lime juice. 2 ounces of
water. Did you say fresh lime juice?
Yes, lime, lemon, lime, L-I-M-E.
Okay. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
That seems to happen to me. Every show, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're sounding a little better now.
I was trying not to cough. It's the way I suddenly have this coughing spell when it's my time to speak. Let me run this back over once more, just in case somebody missed the ingredients. 1 white banana, frozen overnight. 3/4 cup spinach, loosely packed. 3/4 cup curly kale, stems removed. 1/2 cup carrot, chopped. 1 teaspoon freshly grated ginger. 1 tablespoon fresh parsley. 1 teaspoon fresh lime juice. 8 ounces of water and 4 ice cubes. Place all of the ingredients in a blender and blend like crazy until you get your desired consistency. If you want a smoother consistency, use more water or less ice. So, now I always add about a tablespoon of chia seeds to every smoothie that I make because it's full of nutrients and so good for you and you can do it. So feel free to do that. Now, sage, everybody is familiar with sage. Sage, you mostly think of sage when you're doing your dress. Dressing without sage is not dressing. But sage is also a healing herb that has been used for thousands of years. People have used it to provide relief from gastric pain and also to stop bleeding. It is a natural disinfectant. And there's a saying that goes, he who has sage in the garden does not need a doctor. Sage plant in your garden works as a natural insect repellent, keeping your carrots, cabbage, strawberries, tomatoes, and marjoram fresh. You can also use sage to help your gray hair regain its color and strength. You will find the instructions on the DCR social media page under the group Mind, Body, and Spirit. I do not have time. Since dried sage leaves are fairly common, you can put them in your closet to keep it insect free from moths and what have you. Sage leaves are commonly used for cooking, but also burning the dried leaves is a great way to make your home smell amazing, and it's also used spiritually to cleanse the home and the items that you may purchase and bring into your home. You may buy something from Goodwill or thrift store. You need to cleanse those things, cleanse the energy from previous owners, okay? To whiten your teeth, you can rub fresh sage leaves directly on your teeth. You can also rinse your mouth with lukewarm sage tea to help prevent cavities. Rinsing your mouth with sage tea also helps to naturally freshen your breath. Those are the benefits of sage. We keep it. I don't run out of sage. Always have sage. I burn it, and I also cleanse my home periodically. I think you can put in and okay, here's another little tip. Drinking water immediately upon rising. Very good for you. Not only does it flush out the waste that has accumulated overnight while you're sleeping and your body is doing what it does while you're sleeping, but it's also good for headaches. It helps with headaches, accelerated heartbeat, diarrhea, constipation, and eye diseases, body aches, disease of the ear, nose and throat, menstrual conditions, cardiovascular system. Water is a healer. All right, that is my for today on loving the body.
I also read that if you have a glass of water by your bed and you drink the water before you go to bed, it can prevent heart attacks. Yeah, it's a heart attack prevention technique or method or treatment. I'm not sure specifically what to entitle that, but yes. So drink some water, your lemon water, before you go to bed, and when you rise, I always have my water left over from the night so I can wake up and just drink some more water as soon as I wake up. Keep water by my bed.
I mean, that's something that I must go to sleep with, a glass of water. In fact, I have more than a glass of water. That's done before I go to bed, and then in the night, and then wake up, I have the rest of it. Even when I am visiting someone, I was like, man, that's a lot of water. I must have it. I must have it. Okay, so tonight we are going to do something a little bit different for our R&R. So if possible, will you please stand, knees relax, elbows relax, as if you're about to sit. Lift your hands.
Okay. Hey, Featherlight.
Yes.
Featherlight.
Yeah.
I hope that everybody else is able to hear you, and maybe it's just my headset, but I'm not hearing the directions for this breathing. So I'm not sure if it's your mic or if you're moving the mic or something, but we really want to hear the instructions, and I know I can't hear them, so I hope that everybody else can. Can we just start over and try to speak a little louder? Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, if you can, if possible, and relax, the tailbone relax.
Hey, Black Rose, I think that's her line. Featherlight, if you don't mind hanging up and calling back in, but yes, that line is very inaudible. It wasn't like that earlier, so if you could reestablish a new connection, that would really help.
Okay.
All right, that'd be great. Because I know I always need to hear that breathing piece that she shares. I need to hear that breathing, because that breathing and pranayama is so healing, so healing. I really enjoyed our guest tonight, Kim Alonso, and I can't wait to have her come back on to share some updates and just keep us informed about her GIA initiative. I'm really looking forward to her coming back on. Let's see if Featherlight has reestablished her line. We'll see. She'll come back on in just a second. All right, let's see. Let's see if we can hear you more clearly now, Featherlight. Got the headset going and your microphone perfected. Welcome back. Namaste.
Me now. Hello.
Yes.
That's even worse. Sorry. That's even worse. I don't know what's going on with her line.
I don't know what's going on either. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I guess we'll have to stop it for tonight because. Oh, my God.
Okay, because we really can't hear you, and I sure hate that because I want to hear your breathing. Maybe, can you try to adjust your headset? We only have a few more minutes, but it's enough time for us to hear the breathing segment.
Like the volume's way down.
Yes.
I haven't done anything different.
Oh. Okay. And it sounds like you're in China. Oh my God. Well, all right then. Well,
I mean, you both are in Houston. And so I'm assuming she's on the telephone. And so who knows what the issue could be.
Hmm. Well, do you want to try it again, Featherlight? We only have a few minutes. No, just go ahead on with the breathing.
I mean, if you can't hear me, it's no sense in my.
We can hear you a little better now, but I know people are tired of us going back and forth saying, "Can you hear me?" And try it again. So let's just go ahead on and run through it. Maybe it'll sound better when people can go back and listen to the podcast.
Just breathe. Just breathe. I mean, deep breath, the hands on your stomach with your left hand, female, right, left hand over your right hand, right 2 inches below your navel. This is your energy point. Breathe in, inhale. Ah. Relax. Inhale, count to four. Leave all your worries yesterday, your anxiety for tomorrow, when the frustration of not being able to hear me, and just relax and breathe. Breathe in your stomach, not from your chest. Relax. Shoulders are relaxed. Make yourself relax. Really, really, really good R&R
last week, but next week we will do better and we will go through it next week. In the meantime, have a good week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening and being part
Namaste. 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 Peace and good night. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for those that commented. And don't forget to log on to Black Talk Radio Network, where you can sign up for BTR and you can also donate to our Houston Harvey Fund. If you just click on the link, you'll be able to access that donation page where we are raising funds for resources for people who have lost everything during Harvey and are trying to rebuild and repair their lives. Because I did not get a chance to mention this, but the monies that were raised through certain foundations have not reached many of these people in Harvey that are now having to pull out the drywall from their homes. They've lost everything from pictures, sentimental items, sofas, armoires, you name it. What you have in your home, just look around at everything in your home that's under 5 feet and imagine that that is what many of these people have lost. So these funds that have been raised through certain organizations, it has not reached these people. So I wonder, what in the world are they waiting on? What are you waiting on? How can they even access this money? I have a friend that's been going on the Red Cross webpage, on different other foundation webpages, J.J. Watts Foundation. They haven't even decided. Well, they have a release date, well, a date when they will discontinue accepting funds, but there is still no actual plan as to how the funds and the monies will be dispersed to those victims of Harvey. So we're trying to raise funds not only to assist those people, but also for future floods, a response team for each neighborhood. We need boats. We need gear. We need generators. So we are planning for the future. We're being prepared. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on next Wednesday with Rob Aqua. Peace and good night.